ask you to turn again in your Bibles to Romans 4 and 5, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Faith, a word that is common among men, common among the generations of men that have lived since the beginning of time. It's common to speak of belief, faith, trust, and the like. But not all faith is true faith. Not all faith is saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is our goal this morning to understand something of what the Scriptures teach regarding saving faith, regarding true faith. And we come to this question and we seek these answers from Scripture in view of our current study through an Orthodox catechism, a catechism written in the 17th century by a Baptist minister for the sake of his people, for the sake of the church to which he was called, that they might understand the basic truths of Holy Scripture. And this particular catechism, remember, is a Baptist adaptation of the Heidelberg Catechism, which was written in 1563, published in 1563 by Zacharias Ursinus and the church in Heidelberg, again for the instruction of the church, that the church, and particularly the church's youth, might understand the basic principles, the basic teaching of Holy Scripture. And the Heidelberg Catechism, as well as an Orthodox Catechism, remember, falls into three parts, three basic divisions. After two introductory questions, the Catechism teaches us what we believe concerning, first of all, our sin and misery apart from Christ. Secondly, our salvation, our deliverance from sin by the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, that gratitude, that service, which belongs to the people of God and is born out of God's mercy to us in Christ. And we find ourselves presently at the beginning of that second section. We've already studied what the Catechism teaches and summarizes concerning the teaching of Scripture regarding our sin and misery in Adam. Because of his sin, we are sinners. We are corrupt in sin, as the Scriptures teach, dead in trespasses and sins. And we are, as it were, accursed before God. As we stand before the judgment seat, the just judgment seat of Almighty God, we are condemned in our sin. And so the question is, can we who are dead in sin, can we who are corrupt in sin, can we who are accursed on account of Adam's sin credited to us, can we somehow deliver ourselves from sin? And the answer is no. We need another. We need one who is like us in every way, but sin accepted. We need a Savior who is true and yet righteous man. And yet one who is also unlike us, one who is true God, able to stand and deliver sinful men. We need one who is then true God and true and righteous man. Those two natures united in one person. And there is only one who is such. Christ. Christ Jesus alone is the mediator between God and sinful men. Christ Jesus alone reconciles sinful men to a holy God. Christ alone unites sinful men to a righteous and just God. But all of this raises a logical question. If we are, in virtue of Adam's sin, sinners, and if we stand in need of that mercy that is to be found in Christ and in Christ alone, if we need just this particular mediator, how is it that we who are sinners can be made partakers of Christ, the mediator? How is it that we might know Christ, who is alone wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? How can we receive what can be found in Him and in Him alone? And the answer is by true faith. Catechism comes to this point and asks the question, having spoken of the fact that Christ alone is that mediator in which sinful men can be saved and delivered from sin. It asks the question 20, is then salvation restored by Christ to all men who perished in Adam? Not at all. But to those only who by a true faith are engrafted into or united with Him. Now, the Scriptures teach us, to be sure, that this true faith is a gift from God. This, too, is a matter of grace from on high. But how is it that we become partakers of Christ? The answer is by faith alone. How is it, according to the Apostle Paul, that we are justified before God? How is it that we are pardoned of our sin, forgiven of our sins? How is it that we are reckoned as righteous before God? By faith in Christ, he says. In Romans chapter 4, at length, he defends what he has said at the end of Romans chapter 3 concerning justification by faith alone, in Christ alone. And he defends it from the Scriptures, drawing attention to Abraham and David and what the Scriptures teach and how it is that whether we be Jew or Gentile, if we believe as did Abraham, if we believe as did David, then we are Abraham's seed. He, the father of those of all those who believe as he did. And he comes again to this conclusion concerning the things that were written regarding Abraham, the things that were written, declared by the Holy Spirit through the Lord's servant David, that all of these things were not written for his sake alone, that is, for Abraham's sake alone, but for our sake also, verse 24, unto whom it shall be reckoned, that is, righteousness reckoned, who believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. And then he draws this conclusion in the opening words of chapter 5. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Faith, saving faith, true faith, is that grace, that gift of God, through which or by which we are made partakers of Christ, through which, by which we receive Christ and all his benefits for salvation. Paul, throughout the book of Romans, especially chapter 3 and verse 21 through the end of chapter 5, uses the language of through faith and by faith. And he does so here at the beginning of chapter 5 in a kind of summary form to underscore this vital Christian truth that faith is the saving means by which, through which, we are united or joined to Christ. It is the appointed way that we receive all of the blessings and the benefits of that one mediator between God and men, himself man, Christ Jesus. How are we united to Christ? How do we receive what he has obtained for sinners? Through faith. And so the logical question then is, what is faith? And that's where we find ourselves today in the Catechism as they summarize the Scriptures. And there are three things we want to notice, particularly this morning, three things that come from questions 20 through 22 of the Catechism concerning faith. First of all, which we've already discussed at some, or introduced to some extent, but we want to think for a moment of faith's benefit. That is, the fact that faith, whatever it is, receives something. Faith is a means. Faith is an instrument. Think of Luther's famous illustration about faith. Faith is an empty hand. It brings nothing with it, but something is placed in it. We receive a gift from God. And the means by which we receive is a true faith. And again, this is expressed, summarized in question 20 of the Catechism. Is then salvation restored by Christ to all men who perished in Adam? Again, not at all, but to those only who by a true faith are engrafted into or united with him. Here we face the difficult reality which is spoken of in Scripture and is confirmed, sadly, by history and experience, that not all men, not all sinners, are saved. Not all come to Christ. Not all, even who hear Christ bidding them to come in the gospel, believe and are saved. No, even using the language of Romans 5, being justified by faith, having our access by faith into this grace. Without faith, it is true to say that there is no justification. Without faith, there is no access, if you will, to the benefits of Christ's saving work. Jesus teaches us in John 3 that a man must be born again. If he is to enter the kingdom of heaven, he must be born again. And at the end of that teaching, the Lord Jesus himself speaks of the fact that there are those who, even having heard him in his own day, there are those who would not believe. That those who did believe would know eternal life, even the resurrection of the body, the resurrection unto life. And yet in John 3 and verse 36, he reminds us, contrasts that with the fact that there are those who would be raised not unto eternal life, but raised to know only the wrath of God. Sadly, this is true even of those who profess to do great things in the name of God, in the name of Christ. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus teaches us there in Matthew 7 and verse 21 that there are those who will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name?" And he will say to them, what? "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You never knew me." The distinction is not a profession of faith. The distinction is the presence of true, saving faith. Only those who partake of Christ through faith are justified. Only those who partake of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith are brought into God's presence, stand in God's presence, again to use the language of Romans chapter 5. Even to use Paul's point in Romans chapter 4, Abraham himself was justified by faith, or through faith. Not even by his working. Sadly, there are many who believe that they might attain heaven or some version of heaven by doing good. But only those who are united to Jesus Christ by a true faith, by a saving faith, are delivered from sin. Again, what is it that distinguished Abraham from among the nations? What is it that distinguished David even from among many of his Israelite brethren? Paul says, it is faith. Yes, they were circumcised. Yes, even Abraham was circumcised. But this not as the means of attaining grace, but this as a sign and a seal of the righteousness of faith which he had while he was yet uncircumcised. And all of this that he might be the father of all who like him believe on the basis of the promise. All who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had before he was circumcised. Here we see then something of the greatness of God's mercy. Why would we be any different from the rest of the lot who are in Adam? Why was Abraham any different? Why was David any different? Why are you and I any different? Not because of anything in us, not because of anything that we have done. Not even faith is a work. It is a gift of God given to us of His sheer mercy for the sake of Jesus Christ and His merit. We all deserve to remain in Adam. We all deserve to remain in that death which the first man brought upon us all. And yet, God is merciful. He is gracious. And through the instrumentality of faith, He gives us what only He can give. He gives us what Christ obtained for us. Righteousness. Forgiveness of sins. Eternal life. The entirety of salvation. And faith. As that gift of God receives the whole Christ. Everything that Christ obtains by His mediation, the fullness of reconciliation with God, the fullness of eternal life, the fullness of grace, our access to that grace is by faith in the Lord Jesus, through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we have peace with God? How are we reconciled to God? How is it that we might stand before God and dwell with God safely forever? It is through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says. Through the one who was delivered up for our trespasses, through the one who was raised for our justification. It is in Him and through Him. And the only way to be in Him and to know Him, and so to know that peace with God which is His by His mediation, is faith. Faith's benefit is the fullness of Christ and His mediation. The fullness of Christ and that salvation that is found with Him. A salvation that dawns in our experience, as it were, as we are declared forgiven of sin and righteous with God, or righteous before God for the sake of Christ. And a salvation that ends, as it were, in, as Paul puts it, in such a full and pregnant way at the end of verse 2, the glory of God. Dwelling in the presence of God, beholding the face of God our Savior. This is the benefit of faith. This is what faith receives. Faith itself being a part of that gift. Being one of those benefits. But it is the instrument. It is the means by which God Himself gives us the fullness of Christ. And my friends, know this. Even what we might think of as the smallest of faith, the weakest faith, the littlest faith gets the whole Christ. All of it. God is no miser. When He gives it all. When He promises it all. Think about how Paul speaks of Abraham here. Abraham is alone with his wife. Abraham is old, with a wife whose womb is dead. And yet God promised to him that he would be the father of all who believe. That his seed would outnumber the grains of sand upon the seashore. That his seed would outnumber the stars of heaven. That a seed would come forth from him and be innumerable. And Abraham believed. And though he did not see it, as it were, in his own day, he too received it all. The fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ's righteousness. The fullness of eternal life. And we who believe like Abraham, we who believe as Abraham did, receive the fullness of eternal life. We have peace with God, Paul says in verse 1. And that peace is not just a passing feeling, but it is a persistent and perpetual, indeed eternal reality. We are no longer considered, regarded as though we were enemies of God, rebels, transgressors of His law. We are His friends. He is our God. We are His people. All through faith in Jesus Christ. All of Christ's benefits are given in their fullness to those who believe. But what is faith? That's the next question. What is faith? And so we think not only of faith's benefits, but we must consider something of the nature of faith. And so secondly, think of, we might put it this way, of the faith that believes. In the third place, we'll notice the faith believed, that is, the content of faith. But here we're speaking of what it is to believe. What is faith? We say we're saved by a true faith. By a true faith, we are engrafted into, united with Jesus Christ. By faith, we are justified. By faith, we have access to this grace of Christ and of His perfect satisfaction and mediation. But what is faith? And given how time is flying away from us, we'll have to just introduce this here and return to it, Lord willing, in 2 weeks. But the Catechism tells us a number of things about the nature of faith, about the faith that believes. And we might summarize faith as under two headings. Faith is knowledge, or entails knowledge, and faith is trust, an assured trust. Faith is knowledge, knowing something of the gospel and what it announces regarding Christ and His satisfaction, Christ and His redemption. Knowing and assenting to everything that God has made known in His Word. But also, the Catechism says, an assured trust. An assured trust which is given by the Holy Spirit through the proclamation of the gospel, whereby I make my repose in God. That is, I rest in God, being assuredly resolved that remission of sins, everlasting righteousness, and life is given not to others only, but to me also, and that freely through the mercy of God for the merits of Christ alone. There's certainly a lot to unpack there. But again, if we ask the question, what is faith? Faith is knowledge of the gospel, not, mind you, a perfect or finished knowledge of the gospel, but a basic understanding of the realities announced in Holy Scripture. That a sinner is saved by the grace of God through the merit of Jesus Christ. And an assured trust by which I myself rest in that gospel. Rest in the God who makes that gospel known, and that God who in fact does those things of the gospel according to His mercy. Abraham, Paul says, in quoting the scriptures themselves, Abraham what? Believed God. Not only did he take God at His word, because God is the God of truth, indeed truth itself, but he rested in the Word of God. He trusted in the Word of God. We might put it this way. He pinned all of his hopes of eternity on the bare promise of God concerning Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is faith. It's not a blind leap in the dark, because it is based upon what God has said, and in fact is based upon God himself. Abraham believed not just the promise of God in some abstract sense, but he believed God. And so faith is not a leap in the dark, but it is a knowledge of what God has said and a knowledge of the God who has said it, an assent that that is in fact true because God has said it, and God is not a man that he should lie. But it is also this resting in that word of promise. Indeed, resting in the very Christ who is promised. Faith, then, looks to and lays hold of the Christ who is proclaimed in the gospel as the only divinely given Savior of sinners. Abraham and David believed the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed God's word concerning him, and they believed him. They rested in him. Though he was generations to come, they believed upon him. And they believed upon him as an example for us. Those things said to them, written down for our sake, so that we who like them believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. The very Jesus who was delivered for our sins and raised for our justification. They believed the gospel and they rested in the Christ of the gospel. They banked all of eternity upon Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And the question, though again we have much more to say regarding faith, especially as it might be this saving faith distinguished from a mere historical faith or a temporary or hypocritical faith or even that faith which was generated momentarily by certain miracles recorded in the Gospels in the days of Christ and the Apostles. This is faith. This is saving faith. It applies itself to Jesus Christ. It looks to Jesus Christ. It is an assured trust that for the sake of Christ and Christ alone, I have the forgiveness of sins. I have everlasting life or everlasting righteousness and life. Faith looks to Jesus Christ and to his merit and knows that in virtue of the mercy of God through Christ, we have received everything the gospel promises. Is this true of you? Again, to be sure, faith is a gift. It must be given by God. But I would be remiss as a minister of the gospel, and you would be remiss as someone who is hearing the gospel proclaimed, not to think of the reality, of the gospel reality, that the way in which God saves a sinner is through faith in Jesus Christ. Do not leave here today without thinking about the blessed reality that it is by faith, it is by hearing what the Word says, believing, knowing that that Word is true, and then resting upon that Word of the Gospel, that you, a hell-deserving sinner, might receive heaven and all of its blessings in Christ. And again, we could and we must say everything that needs to be said about faith. But the question is this. It boils down to this. Do you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you take the Scriptures, the very Word of God? Do you take God at His Word when He says through His apostolic servant, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved? Not maybe, but definitely. Truly. Really. Because faith is appointed by God to receive all of Jesus Christ. Everything that Christ came to do is given to the one who believes. And again, you do not believe on your own strength. Faith is a gift of God. But wrestle with this question, my friends. Do I believe God? And wrestle with it not to the point where you convince yourself that you're not a believer. That's the very opposite of what the gospel calls forth. But wrestle with it to the extent that you see and hear the blessed promises of the gospel in Jesus Christ. So that like Abraham, perhaps all alone, like Abraham, surrounded by death and darkness, you might hear that blessed reality of a God who raises the dead and who in fact raised your Savior Jesus from the dead. And know that by faith a sinner is justified, made right with God. By faith we have peace with God. Again, all of God's mercy, all because of Christ's merit. And understanding yourself to be a sinner, look to Jesus Christ. Hear the gospel now. And rest in Christ. Make your repose in God and in His promises. Make your repose lean upon and depend upon and rest all of your hopes of eternity. All of your hopes for the forgiveness of your sins. All of the hopes for righteousness. All of your hopes for eternal life. Upon the mercy of God. And upon Christ, the mediator. My friends, believe. Not just in some abstract notion of God, but the God revealed, the God who reveals Himself in Holy Scripture. Believe not some vague promise of a better life, but believe Christ. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the sure and certain Savior of sinners. And you, yes, you, sinner, shall be saved. Isn't this a glorious gospel? Isn't this good news? A God who saves. The God who raises the dead. The God who raised Jesus from the dead. The very Jesus who was delivered up for our sins and raised from the dead so that we might stand before God and dwell with Him forever. Believe this good news and rest in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray.